I love the theme of trust, and I am so thrilled to be engaging that topic with you because it really gets at the heart of faith and why we come together. Trust is an act of courage, especially these days. There's been an awful lot of evil in the world. And I know that we as Unitarian Universalists who believe in the inherent worth and dignity of everyone can struggle with that word. However, we can believe actions to be evil without deeming the individuals hopeless. But between the recent shutdown, climate change heaping a painful toll, and the recent news that thousands more children than we knew about were separated from their parents, every day the world feels a little less empathetic, less just. And it feels harder and harder to trust in goodness. I think that's why I love Oliver Jeffers' book so much, because it reminds me to see the world through my daughter's eyes. She's 17 months old, and her favorite thing is to be outside discovering what the world is about. It doesn't matter if it's too cold, if it's raining, if it's nighttime and she's supposed to be sleeping. She wants to be outside, seeing the world and the stars. Because for her, the world is magical and infinite and so full of possibilities. And perhaps most importantly, it's a world full of kindness. Her world is so different from our world. In ours, the news is all we see. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you, it's depressing. Climate change is ravaging the country right now, and people are dying, and we're still debating its existence. It is awfully hard to trust that there is a path out of this mess. But in reality, my daughter's world is really the world that we have just forgotten. The world we've stopped exploring. And I remember that the universe is actually amazing. And that it's more versed in navigating this messy collection of dust than we are. So maybe physics has something to teach us about how we can live and love each other better. When I was in seminary, in my pursuit of theology, I decided to take an astronomy class, and I fell in love with reading books by the late, great Professor Stephen Hawking. One of my favorite things about Professor Hawking was how accessible he made physics and astronomy to those of us who don't study it professionally. And one of the subjects that he became most famous for was his study of black holes. And black holes are intrinsically fascinating, right? Not just because they're mysterious and kind of terrifying, but, you know, because it's fun to think about multiverses, time travel, all the things that science fiction has made ample use of. It's fun to consider a place where the laws of physics that we have to live by don't apply. And this seems like a good metaphor for all the painful injustices that we have been inundated with. That there is simply a black hole for compassion and justice. And people have decided that the laws of human goodness no longer apply. One of many examples of this was recently found in what happened to Joshua Tree National Park. While the government was shut down, people vandalized the park, cutting down Joshua trees, intentionally leaving trash, and camping illegally. Park rangers say it will take between 200 and 300 years for the ecosystem to recover from that damage. Because a few people decided that the laws of conservation didn't apply to them. Or perhaps what felt even more heartbreaking was the story of young parents fleeing Honduras, seeking asylum with their daughter. The only food they were given were frozen bologna sandwiches, and they were berated nonstop. And when their three-year-old daughter got the flu from lack of heat in the facility and began to cry as a result of her pain, the agents threatened to lower the temperature unless she would stop crying. It was only when she developed severe jaundice that she was taken to the hospital. And sadly, we know of a couple of children who did not survive their stay in ICE detention centers. It is impossible for me to understand the vitriol and contempt that those agents displayed. And we may start to feel like compassion itself is lost. But this is where we have an opportunity to depart from science fiction and return to science in our spiritual lives. Because even if compassion has been getting sucked into a black hole, that doesn't mean that goodness is lost. Because the laws of physics do very much apply in black holes. And I find hope in the belief that the laws of physics that govern our universe govern the human heart too. So maybe I should back up a little bit. What is a black hole? Black holes generally come from an incredibly massive star that has burned through its nuclear fuel and has become incredibly compact. Since mass curves space, once it hits a critical point in mass, it essentially rips a hole in space-time, much like a marble would on a paper towel. Black holes got their name because even light can't escape falling into this hole once it has reached the event horizon. Gravity will pull anything in, and we won't see it again. But just because the information is lost to us doesn't mean the information is lost. When we look back to the National Park visitors who nearly destroyed Joshua Tree with their compassion seemingly lost to the void, at the same time, a group of Muslim teenagers in Philadelphia were cleaning their national parks with their spare time. This is the truth in one of Hawking's incredible theories. Because the truth of black holes is that the information is not completely lost from a black hole. We just can't see it from our vantage point. From the perspective of outside of the universe, that black hole might not even exist. And this is why the way my daughter sees the world is so important. Because from her vantage point, that black hole that I see compassion falling into doesn't exist. And for these kids who cleaned up the national parks in their area, the importance of kindness and trust in our capacity was, if anything, stronger. Our kids put so much trust in us, but maybe it's us that needs to put our trust in them, because they see the world of possibility, a world that isn't lost, where kindness and justice are endeavors that are within our reach. They just call for work. They call for us to respond. For so many kids, that black hole that so many of us feel consumed by doesn't exist. Because they can see the compassion that we can't, the potential that we struggle to believe in. But for those of us who will always see the black hole, there's good news for us too. A black hole is not merely a pit of nothingness. As it consumes, it emits radiation back into the universe, increasingly taking from its mass until eventually the black hole disappears. And for those of us for whom compassion does appear lost, who have a hard time believing that both realities can be true. Remember that even a black hole emits radiation back into the universe. When justice is taken away, we can emit compassion back into the universe. One of the most painful things to see is the human toll that environmental hubris has caused. The polar vortex in the Midwest was one of those examples. But amidst that, there were guardian angels breathing compassion back into the world. One random Good Samaritan paid for 70 homeless people in Chicago to stay at a hotel for the week. Another man and his family left notes on 40 of their neighbors' doors, telling them that he and his family were available if anyone needed assistance picking up groceries, medicine, or help with snow removal. Kindness and compassion are not lost. The black hole is actually our opportunity to respond with love. When we see injustice and pain, that is our call to emit kindness back into the universe. And as we radiate more and more kindness into the world, that black hole of anger and hatred will dissipate. I trust in the balance of energy, that compassion and justice will not be destroyed, only transformed into something that leads us into societal redemption. The question for us is how we will respond to contempt when we see it. Will we despair and let ourselves be consumed by that black hole in the process? Or will we rise up and breathe compassion back into the universe? We have the opportunity to participate in the transformation of energy from contempt to compassion if we will heed the call. But perhaps the hardest part about this call, about trust in the slow move towards compassion, is that the breath of kindness belongs to everyone. And if we choose to be a part of that transformative process, we don't get to decide who that applies to. Because societal redemption means honoring the universal worth of every person. The family who was seeking safe haven, and the agents who berated them. If we believe that energy has the capacity to be transformed, then our call to compassion means offering people the chance to make amends, to step away from the event horizon that is pulling them in another direction. Both science and our faith teach us of our interdependence. So my call to you, as we go out into the world, is when you see contempt, to radiate compassion in its place. Because our love can shine a light so powerful, so radiant, that no black hole can erase it. Our light will become energy that every soul on earth can feel. So let our energy be compassionate. Let our energy be redemptive. And let us trust that our energy will transform lives. Blessed be, and amen.